and welcome to the Employee Safety Podcast from Alert Media, where you'll hear advice from industry leaders on how to protect your people and business. I'm Peter Steinfeld. Joining us from Milan is Nick Finelli, Olympic Security Coordinator with the U.S. Department of State's Diplomatic Security Service, or DSS. Nick leads U.S. security coordination for the 2026 Winter Olympic Games, beginning this Friday in Italy. In this episode, he walks us through the complexities of Olympic security and how the Games serve not only as a global sporting event, but also as a powerful platform for international security collaboration and learning. Let's dive in. Hey, Nick, thanks so much for being here.
Hey, Peter, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, let's jump into it. Can you walk us through your role with the Diplomatic Security Service and describe what your day-to-day responsibilities look like as the Games approach?
Sure thing. So I'm a supervisory special agent with the Diplomatic Security Service, currently serving as the Olympic Security Coordinator here in Milan, Italy. As the Olympic Security Coordinator, I'm responsible for overseeing all U.S. government security support for the Olympic Games on behalf of the International Security Events Group. The International Security Events Group is a U.S. interagency body that resides in Washington that is comprised of over 20 federal law enforcement, intelligence, and security agencies focused on international sporting events and large-scale events where the U.S. government has a large security interest. So our day-to-day responsibilities involve coordination with various intelligence, law enforcement, security matters, all in support of the Games and also in partnership with our Italian and private sector partners as we're working specifically towards this event. Working with key stakeholders from across the U.S. government, the Italian government, the private sector, to include the Italian Olympic Organizing Committee on the preparations as they relate to the U.S. interest in the Games.
Man, it sounds like there's a lot going on there and a lot of coordination. So for listeners who may not be familiar, how does the U.S. approach security for major international events like the Olympics, and what role does DSS play in that effort?
So the Diplomatic Security Service, as mentioned, is the chair of the International Security Events Group. The International Security Events Group is a U.S. interagency body that's always looking outward, and it's not just for things like the Olympics. The U.S. government obviously has security interests in a lot of multinational events, not just sporting events. So we cover the World Cup, the ISEG supports the Pan American Games, and other international summits like the G7, the G20, the Munich Security Conference, et cetera, where the U.S. government has recognizes a large U.S. security interest. So what the ISEG does is the ISEG will look years out and they will designate events that are well-known events that are either predictable or in response to world events at the time, which are designated as ISSEs, International Special Security Events. They'll designate them either tier one, tier two, or tier three. And each one of those tiers encompasses a different level of security support. So for an event like the Olympics, they're always going to be a designated tier one event given the scale and scope of the event. So once the tier one designation is given, the ISEG will then designate, and DSS in this case will designate and take lead of overall U.S. government security planning for that event. They'll designate an Olympic security coordinator in our case. We'll set up an office, we'll hire local staff members, and we'll start working in earnest with our Italian, in this case, our Italian partners, but in any case, our host nation partners, to include also private sector partners that have an interest in the event as well.
So you show up pretty early. Like, it's not like you're there 2 weeks in advance. This is like potentially for a big event like the Olympics, maybe years early.
My team and I have been here since April of 2024. So almost 2 years on the ground so far. But even before that, we started training for this event, going through language training and such, obviously, because you can imagine Italy, a lot of our conversations and security support as being coordinated in Italian. So yeah, definitely long lead time. And I would say even establishing the positions, there's our team back in Washington of the Diplomatic Security Services Major Event Division really started looking at this event probably 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, wow. Would you say a reason for that early lead time is not just to have plenty of time to find all the issues that you might need to uncover and prepare, but also the bonding that can happen between all these disparate groups that you're trying to work together with?
Absolutely. Given the way the U.S. government approaches security for these events, it's not the kind of thing that you can do with just 6 months on the ground. You need to understand the environment you're operating in. You need to build not just these professional relationships, but these friendships in a lot of cases to get the work done. And a lot of the bilateral security support can't happen overnight. And these relationships really need to be solidified. And then there's obviously the logistics involved with setting up a new office, setting up a position, which would obviously require a lot of work as well.
When people think about Olympic security, they often focus on the athletes, but who else are you and your team supporting during the Games?
So Certainly, a large focus is going to be on Team USA. The Diplomatic Security Service has a memorandum of understanding with Team USA to ensure a safe and secure environment for the participation of Team USA in international sporting events like the Olympics. But we have four primary security constituencies. There's Team USA and staff, everyone that falls under the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee. You have official VIP visitors from the United States government, official delegations, official delegates, people that are going to be coming to the game on behalf of the U.S. government to represent either at the openings or closing ceremonies or to engage in bilateral engagements on the sidelines of the event. Then you have, obviously, the American citizens. The first and primary job of the U.S. government is to look after our citizens. And with any international sporting event, I mean, at any given day, there's many, many, many thousands of Americans living, residing, and traveling through Italy, but even more so during an event. So a lot of our security coordination efforts are done in close conjunction with our consular colleagues from the State Department to make sure that the American citizens are well-informed and well-supported if should there be any issues during the games. And then our U.S. private sector that has a interest in the games, and that can range from U.S. corporate sponsors of the games themselves, U.S. corporate sponsors of Team USA or others, or just U.S. companies that are operating in Italy with an interest in the games that'll be present on the ground. All of those entities are fall under our umbrella via OSAC, which is a public-private partnership that engages with the U.S. private sector abroad to provide them security support and security information officially from the U.S. government to the U.S. private sector. So a lot of our engagement has been with those folks as well. So that's the camp of the four different constituencies that we're driving our security efforts to support.
That is a lot of moving parts and a lot of different people that require different levels of security. So how do you approach planning when you're supporting so many different groups in an event like the Olympics? How do you bring order to the chaos?
I would say that we focus our efforts into three lines of effort, really. Planning and logistics for the large U.S. interagency security operations. So that's setting up everything for our special agents, our DSS special agents who will embed with Team USA at every venue, that's getting out there and seeing all of the venues, understanding the venues, that's meeting with key stakeholders from the local Olympic organizing committee, but also the IOC and others to really understand what that's going to look like, and then catering the logistics and planning around that just to support that U.S. interagency body. We also do quite a bit of engagement with the security services of Italy in this case. So a lot of exchanges of best practices and bilateral security strengthening is taking place throughout our preparations. In Italy, it's been a fantastic experience working with our partners. We've had a lot of opportunities to engage with them through various subject matter expert exchanges and security observation programs bilaterally that have really strengthened our relationships. And then the third thing we're doing is opening up liaison and information exchange channels. And these are ways that we can share information bilaterally, government to government. This is information sharing with our private sector partners, our corporate partners I just mentioned. Also with private sector partners here in Italy. So transportation providers, airports. There's a number of different Italian private sector entities here that have a key interest in involvement in the games that we had to strengthen our relationships with as well. And those efforts really help support the American citizens who will be utilizing those services. So let's say if there's an issue on a train or a metro or at an airport, whatever it might be, A, we can be in touch with our American citizens, and B, we could be in touch with those partners that might be able to help us get the information or provide support that's needed at that time. So those are kind of the three lines of effort that we focus on.
I'd love to dig a bit deeper on the collaboration side of things, because it seems like that's really the key to a lot of this. And you're doing this work in another country alongside another government, a different culture. So what does that collaboration with the host nation look like in practice? Can you dig into that just a bit more?
Sure. Just looking at the government side, we're up here in Milan, but the capital of Italy is Rome. So a lot of the ministries and a lot of the engagements with the senior officials have taken place in Rome. So we really focused our efforts first in Rome to try and meet our stakeholders and counterparts within the various ministries to introduce ourselves, our program, and to express the U.S. government's interest in the games and start building those relationships. Simultaneous to that, we had to start work at the regional level and at the provincial level in Italy in the regions that are going to be hosting the games. Italy is like any government. There's various levels of bureaucracy and administrative control and management throughout the country. So understanding who the key stakeholders were that we had to build the relationships with was really important. So we engaged both in Rome nationally and then regionally and provincially throughout the provinces and regions to where the games are going to be hosted. And then understanding all of that, we also then had to start working with our local stakeholders, right? So the Italian Olympic Organizing Committee, which is primarily based here in Milan, And then, like I said before, just really trying to build the relationships and identify which relationships we needed to build outside of those entities on the private sector side. So that kind of leads more towards the transportation providers and the folks that are going to be involved with moving American citizens around during these amazing games.
Are there any tips or tricks that you found out through hard-earned experience on how you can bridge the gap between the language difference or the cultural differences?
I will tell you that having the ability to speak Italian was vitally important. And I would not go as far as to say that I can speak Italian fluently, but I give it a best shot. Luckily, I have some local staff who can support me when I fall short of that. But it's a matter of respect. It's a matter of building that common bond and familiarity. Understanding it's a great experience to work here in Italy. Understanding the culture has been an amazing experience. But to be able to engage locally and engage with the understanding that comes with having time in the country has really helped to bridge some of those gaps where it would be really difficult if you were only here for even a year out. You just wouldn't have the time to absorb all of that.
Well, can you share an example of a situation where coordination between your team and partners positively influenced security planning for the games?
Over the past 2 years, we've had the chance to engage in several operational sharings of best practices. So we were fortunate to bring some of our Italian partners back to the U.S. to engage them a little bit and show them how we handle international security events. And likewise, they hosted us at several different experiences here. We were able to see kind of from the inside perspective how they handle security for major events during a couple events leading up, not just the test events, but also in the Special Olympics were here in Italy before that. The FISU World Games were here in Italy. Both of those are international sporting events that we were able to take a look at and kind of see how Italy managed that. And they were gracious enough to host us to kind of walk us through that before the games. One example of where I feel coordination has positively influenced security planning for the games, like I mentioned, we've hosted a number of bilateral exchanges with Italian counterparts. Recently in Rome, we were able to host a subject matter expert exchange focused on countering threats from unmanned aircraft systems, so drones, which is an emerging threat throughout the world, an emerging threat that's impacting, you know, governments and private sector partners alike. So during this exchange, we were able to bring over to Italy a number of U.S. subject matter experts from various federal agencies that are all under the International Security Events Group umbrella. And we were able to engage with the Italian interagency. So everybody, you know, stakeholders from the Ministry of Defense, the Ministry of Interior, civil aviation authorities, and the like. So it was a really fruitful exchange that led to some outstanding sharing of best practices, which is mutually beneficial. Because as you know well, right now, the U.S. government is planning for LA 28 and the World Cup. And these are threats that we're all dealing with on figuring out how to manage collectively. So the opportunity to engage with our Italian partners on a true exchange of best practices was really, really beneficial.
Yeah, I didn't really realize until you mentioned it, all this back and forth that happens and how beneficial it is. You would think that since the games are in the Milan area, that you would just go there and that's it. But then you shared with us this idea of people coming over to the U.S. And this back and forth is a big part of it. So I think that was really neat. Thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, every Olympics is different, but what makes the Milano Cortina Winter Games unique from a planning and security perspective?
These games in particular, I would say the terrain and sheer distance between the venues. There's four different Olympic clusters. There's the cluster in Milan, there's the cluster in Valtellina, encompassing venues in Livigno and Bormio. There's the Val di Fiemme cluster, which is encompassing venues in Predazzo and Tesoro. And then there's the Cortina cluster, which encompasses venues in Cortina, but also north in Anserselva. So if looking at a map, these are all places I didn't know before I came to Italy that well, but to travel it is to appreciate the expanse and the distance. So it's one thing to drive it, but it's another thing when you have to take under the undertaking of moving thousands of spectators through these mountain villages and clusters to get them all to timed events and to sequence all that. So I think for Italy, it's their primary focus is to make sure that the transportation and logistics to move the spectators safely to and from has been there. And then for us, obviously, that impacts our planning and impacts the areas that we're focusing on security and coordination with our various stakeholders on that front. So we've invested heavily in building relationships at the provincial level, the municipal level. I mean, you're also crossing territories. So there's just simply administrative and bureaucratic crossover that needs to be accounted for as well. And we've also invested very heavily in understanding the transportation network and strengthening those ties with our transportation partners to really understand how these games are going to move in that regard.
That's got to make things exponentially more difficult that you're not just securing certain venues, but now you have to think about the area between these different venues and everything you got to be concerned with about people getting on trains or driving and things like that.
Yeah, it is. And it's, you know, I just want to be clear. I mean, the U.S. government's security interest, we keep our primary resource and focus is obviously on the U.S. interest in the game. So those four kind of constituencies. But for our Italian partners, both from the government side and private sector side and from the Olympic Organizing Committee, they've done an amazing job putting together a plan for these logistics and to manage the logistics and to manage the inherent security and logistical challenges that come with that. But for our part, we have to understand it just as well as they do, because you're going to have American citizens taking trains, buses, shuttles. And, you know, if there is any issues, we need to make sure that we have the contacts, can pick up the phone, can marshal resources if need be to support in any way that's necessary. So really understanding it's been a big, big part of our efforts.
Well, security can be a heavy hand, and there's always a balance between keeping people safe and preserving the spirit of the game. So how do you and your partners think about striking that balance?
The Diplomatic Security Service's focus here is on Team USA, on the venues for the most part. It's the Italian government and our Italian security partners from the organizing committee who really have the overall security responsibility for the games in Italy. So our role will be kind of play a more low-key liaison role engaging with our partners. They will have, the Italian government and the organizing committee will have a very, very robust security footprint in place that's capable of responding to any number of contingencies on venue. The DSS special agents that are supporting Team USA and on venue will maintain a low profile. You're not going to see much DSS branding out there. And you know, that's not our role here. We are here to support this high profile operation in a low profile way. But we're definitely there. You won't see us, but we'll be there.
So do you actually spend time educating the people you're protecting on who's responsible for what, for their safety? Or do you just say, look, we got your back. Sometimes it might be the Italians, sometimes it might be us. Because sometimes if you understand like who's responsible for something, it just makes you feel a little bit more comfortable as someone that's out in the field.
So for Team USA, for the US VIPs, they know very well who we are. Our DSS field liaison officers, especially when they're serving on venues, are working very closely with the Team USA sport managers so that our athletes know who our agents are, our agents know who the athletes are. They're with them at all times on venue and between movement and supporting their operations. So if there's an issue, they can engage and do what they have to do in the moment. Same thing for US VIPs, as with any protection detail. Everything there will be very clearly established as per usual. As it relates to our American citizens and private sector partners, I mean, it's through opportunities like this that we educate them that we're out there through either OSAC channels for our private sector partners or through the US government's consular services where, you know, we're pushing out information to the US citizens who are going to be attending. So if there's a need, we have agents out there to also step in that role and support American citizens when needed.
So while we're talking about agents in the field, can you describe the mechanism to coordinate all this activity?
So the primary coordinating mechanism for the entire security operation is going to be coming out of the ISEG Joint Operations Center. So again, the ISEG, the International Security Events Group, DSS will establish an ISEG Joint Operations Center at the US Consulate Milan, which is encompassing more than 20 plus US federal law enforcement security intelligence agencies present in the JOC, the Joint Operations Center, that are in constant contact with our flows in the field. So there's this constant feedback loop that's going on between what's taking place in the field with our resources and personnel in the JOC, who are also taking in information from multiple sources, either back in the US, other channels as well, bilaterally, multinational. We have also some international partners that will be in the Joint Operations Center as well. And then lastly, and one of the most importantly, we'll have an OSAC representative in the JOC as well, who is in touch with our OSAC partners that we're engaging with in Italy. So any US company that's under OSAC and engaging with OSAC that's operating in Italy, as their personnel are going through things, dealing with things, observing things, if they have challenges dealing with that, information flow is coming and going as well with them. So there's a constant feedback loop going back and forth, and also with our personnel in Rome at the national level.
I can imagine having that coordination allows you to react much more quickly to things as opposed to things dragging on for many, you know, minutes or hours where time is of the essence.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's vitally important.
Well, many of our listeners support employees who travel internationally or just manage large events of their own. What lessons from Olympic security planning do you think translate really well into the corporate world?
Partnerships, establishing partnerships early, identifying that key interpersonal terrain, identifying your key partners that you need to invest in. No singular source, no singular partner has it all. You need to start early in identifying that key terrain and coming at it honestly so that you're not building just professional relationships, you're building friendships, because at a time in need, you know, you want to pick up the phone and not be you know, Nick, the Olympic security coordinator calling. You just want to be Nick. Hey, Nick, give me a call. They got something going on over there. So that has been a very big focus for my team over here, is building truly valuable friendships and partnerships with our partners. I think understanding the threat environment, understanding the terrain in that regard, and letting that drive your operational priorities in this context. We're looking forward and backward, but we're looking back at the challenges observed during previous games, previous multinational sporting events, and identifying the key secure takeaways then that then drive our priorities to plan for, to mitigate, to manage, and respond should those same threads play out. But you have to be looking forward too and seeing what's around the corner. And I think looking at, for instance, the emerging threats from drone systems, particularly in Europe, as you've seen a lot of disruptions with drone activity around airports and such, where's that going and what does that change in the paradigm mean for how we plan security operations? So I think, again, letting the threat drive your operational planning is really, really important. And then contingency planning and redundancies. You have to invest time in putting thoughts on paper and coming up with the plans and rehearsing those and making sure you have redundancies in place, because inevitably, yes, plans do change on a dime, but the sheer exercise of going through the planning effort, getting that thought exercise out there, getting inputs, it's really, really important. And again, I would say that really leads to further justify then the long lead time for an event such as this, where you have to really invest the time and effort into understanding the environment so then you can come up with a coherent, integrated operational plan to support that.
I really love that advice that you offered about focusing on partnership and developing that. As you think about the average security professional out there planning out their day, their week, their year, how much percentage-wise of that time should they spend on just developing partnerships? How crucial is that to the overall success in their work?
Well, that's a very good question. I don't know that I could say ascribe a percentage. I would say a good portion of it. You know, you need to get out from behind the desk. You need to go meet your partners. You need to, you know, have that coffee, take that lunch meeting, go to that event, shake hands, exchange cards. It's always better to have one more friend than not, especially in this environment here. So I think leveraging the resources that are out there too, and I'll make a big plug for OSAC again. If I was in the private sector security world, the first thing I would be doing is registering for OSAC to plug into that vast network of security professionals operating abroad. Everybody brings with them different experience professionally before they came to the private sector and came to OSAC. But in this international environment, things can change quickly. And it's really, really important to have a network. And OSAC offers that along with some outstanding security resources.
Well, ultimately, what makes this work worthwhile or fulfilling for you when it comes to events like the Olympics?
For my partners and I, the prize is really seeing Team USA safely complete and win as many gold medals as possible. I mean, for this event, that's our focus, is doing everything we can to make sure Team USA has the opportunity to compete and win in a safe and secure environment. So to the extent that we've been able to support that, it's been incredibly fulfilling. And I think stepping back just from this event itself, having the opportunity to work with such a stellar team locally, with my own team internally, within the wider State Department, bilaterally with our Italian partners, and multinationally with our diplomatic partners, it's been an incredible experience. And, you know, it's an enormous challenge and they're doing a tremendous job. So working with our partners has been truly, truly fulfilling.
Well, Nick, this has been great. Thank you so much for sharing all your advice and insight. I know the games start here real soon, so good luck with everything. And thank you for being on the show.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks again for the opportunity. Best luck to you.
To learn more about Nick and his work with DSS, click the links in the episode description. You can also watch the video highlights on Alert Media's YouTube channel. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the show wherever you get your podcasts. Stay safe out there.
Thank you for listening to the Employee Safety Podcast from Alert Media, the industry's most intuitive emergency communication and threat intelligence solution. To learn more about how to protect your people and business during critical events, visit alertmedia.com. Until next time.